Turn your Bible with me to John chapter 1. Yes, we are still in John chapter 1. Next week we will finish it. Verse 35, please. 135. If you have been a Christian for some time, you are familiar with the word disciple. All of us have somewhat vague meaning, definition. But if somebody asks you, can you define it clearly? And right off your head, you may not have a clear answer. I looked at my normal dictionary, which from the internet, dictionary.com, which I use often. This is the definition they give. It's two definitions. Number one, follow of the doctrines of a teacher or a school of thought. Second one is one of the personal followers of Christ, including his 12 apostles during his earthly life. So if we accept that this definition, we can apply, especially the first definition, we can apply this other areas outside of Christianity as well. In other words, if there's a certain person, we always pick on Charlie, right? Nobody named Charlie, right? Okay. Charlie is a philosopher, and there's a group of people hanging around with him. They accept his philosophy. Then you could call them as the disciples of Charlie because they are following the school of thought of that person. Or there are a group of people who would follow the political ideology or political leader. For example, Marx and Lenin had a big group of following known as the disciples of the Marx and Lenin, also known as communists. So we can say that way. But what does it take? What does it take a true disciple of Jesus Christ? One thing I must make it clear is that not every believer of Jesus Christ is a disciple of Jesus Christ. Let me say one more time. Not every born-again believers are disciples of Jesus Christ. It's not something you become automatically. We should be. But unfortunately, good number of born-again believers are not. Why? Because of their own selfish reason. There is no other way to answer it. Every believer should be disciples, but they choose not to because of their own selfish reason. I have 5 requirements that I think every believer must make in becoming of the disciple of Jesus Christ. So this morning, let the Word of God define it for us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as your dear children from your Word, let us examine ourselves that we may see ourselves the way you see and see the world the way you do. Help us that we may clearly understand how to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Father, we pray for the President Obama. You get his attention at whatever the cost, and that he may turn his heart over to you and become a true believer of Jesus Christ. And we pray for our troops, especially the one in the harm's way, like Afghanistan and Iraq. We are asking you to protect them, especially the ground force who are having actual firefight, and we're asking you to protect them. We also lift up our law enforcement personnel and firefighters around this community as well as the entire country. We're asking you to protect them. And we pray for those who attend our service. We're asking you to protect them evermore. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 35 of chapter 1 in the book of John, please. Again, the next day, John stood with the 2 of his disciples, and looking at Jesus as he walked, he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God." If you have a different version of the Bible, you might say, look for the behold. Verse 37, and the two disciples heard him speak, they followed Jesus. John the Baptist was the real deal when it comes to the having no selfish ambition. This guy would not hold the people around him. He was happy to point out Jesus to his disciples, and probably he encouraged them to follow Jesus rather than following him. And probably he even gave his blessing to these two disciples. See, by doing so, he was fulfilling his ministry. He's out there to point people to Christ. Isn't that what we are called to do as well? Keep your finger there and go to chapter 3, please, and verse 3. Verse 30, please. I have to remind myself often with this verse. He must, that's Jesus must increase. I, all of us. It's not just one person. All of us must decrease. See, no matter what kind of the denominational church believers attend, it really doesn't matter. The most important thing is that they have to be the disciples of Jesus Christ. But sometimes I find it often, those people who attend their church, it's one thing to be loyal to their church and loyal to a particular Bible teacher. But they tend to be too loyal to their Bible teacher, too loyal to their church, too loyal to their denomination. They forget that they are believers of Jesus Christ. They are putting the denomination rules and regulation over this Word of God. Then it's no different than the Pharisees who put the tradition of Jewish rules over God's law in the first century. You know what I'm saying? Nothing wrong with admiring Bible teachers. However, the Bible teachers are fallible humans. But infallible is the Jesus Christ, the Son of God. So here's the point. The first requirement is a transition. Changing from the John the Baptist disciple to the disciples of Jesus Christ. So every believer of Jesus Christ should make a transition to be disciple of him. They have to make a conscious effort to make a transition to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Second requirement is evaluation. Go to the verse 38, please. Then Jesus turned and seeing them following, said to them, what do you seek? Would you underline that word? What do you seek? The four words. They said to him, Rabbi, which is to say, when translated, teacher, where are you staying? It's worth noting that this was the first question ever recorded in the four Gospels that Jesus asked to somebody. It was not a statement. It was a question, clear question. It was not a casual question to throw at each other. You know how the people say to each other, what's up? They made one entire commercial campaign with the, what's up? All they say is, what's up? I don't think these two guys were expecting this question from Jesus. Probably they caught him off guard for a moment. When Jesus asked them, what do you seek? It's not just casual thing, how are you, or hi. He wanted them to know what's the purpose and what is the goal for seeking after him. Were they looking for the revolutionary leader to go against Rome, a power of Rome? Or was it to satisfy idle curiosity? Which one are you looking for? Or neither? As I said before, they didn't expect it and they didn't realize this was the very beginning of their new spiritual journey that make the difference. We can ask the same question to ourselves, folks. today? The answer some might give would be, you know, I want inner peace, or I want looking for love, or some say I'm looking for happiness or success. The question Jesus asked is not because the question is not because he didn't know what kind of answer they would give. The question was for them to find out what they're thinking, what they need to know. We find this thing in the same way. The first question God asked is recorded in chapter 3 of Genesis. Keep your finger there and go to Genesis chapter 3, please. Chapter 3, verse 9. Let me give you a quick summary of what happened. They were told not to eat the forbidden fruit. What did they do? They ate. And they knew they were in trouble. And they knew they are naked. So they covered themselves with the fig leaves, which is, if you know the fig leaves, it's a very itchy thing. And they covered themselves with the heart. A brilliant move. But then again, that's what we do. We try to cover up our sins with another sin. They did that, and they hid themselves because they knew that when the God will come back to the Garden of Eden, because he usually come back and walk with them in the cool of the day. As they heard the footstep of God, they hid themselves, and this is what God said. Verse 9, then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, where are you? Was God playing peekaboo with them? And then I would say, I really cannot find you. Where are you? I give up. No, if that is true, God is not all-knowing God. God knew. But God was giving them one last chance to repent, come out clean. So let me ask you this. What do you seek in God? What do you seek in God? We all must evaluate our hearts seriously. Please don't ignore this question God asked you today. Is it our own comfort and convenience in our lives every day, or is it glory of God? Go to the 2 Corinthians 13:5, today's memory verse. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. You have to ask yourself. One of my favorite Christian authors is A.W. Tozer, and one of his books is Pursuit of God. He says this, complacency is a deadly enemy of a spiritual growth. Isn't that true? Acute desire must be present or there will be no manifestation of Christ to his people. He wants to be wanted. You follow that? Complacency is a deadly enemy of spiritual growth. We must evaluate ourselves, not just one time, almost every day. Third requirement of being a disciple is submission. Submission. Verse 39 in John. Back to John. He said to them, come and see. Come and see. They came and saw where he was staying and remained with him. Note the word staying and remained with him that day. Now it was about 10th hour. Folks, listen. All the transition and all the evaluation would be pointless if we don't submit to God. Did you hear me? All the transition, all the evaluation would be pointless and useless if we don't submit to God, obey God. A complete obedience to the Lord is the best way to keep ourselves in the right track with God. So, you're thinking, can we do that completely? Absolutely not. Are you kidding me? Well, all of us still have this sinful nature, don't we? As long as we have this sinful nature, we will sin no matter what. If you, according to First John, if anyone says they don't sin, is a liar. So we will sin, but we can reduce the rate of sin by keeping ourselves evaluated, being submissive to the Word of God. We cannot accomplish this. I haven't seen anybody who has accomplished this, but we can strive to achieve the excellence. True disciples submit to the Lord's commandments that are in the Bible with everything they have. They try very hard. When they sin, they quickly ask the Lord to forgive them with a sincere repentance. You know the difference between repentance and remorse. In case you don't know the difference, remorse means, oh, shucks, I got caught. I'll do it again so I don't get caught the next time. Typical criminal mentality. But true follower of Jesus Christ, I'm sorry I did this. I'm going to turn away from my sin. I'm going to walk away from my sin. That is repentance. If you continue doing the same sin, or known as a past sin, over and over and over again, why are you doing that? That means you can say, well, God forgive me, I repent. No, you really don't mean it. If you mean it, you try hard, do everything you can to walk away from that sin. Let me show you an interesting word here. The Greek word for staying and remain, I ask you to note that, are the same word. It's a meno, which is the Lord Jesus using in his upper room discourse in chapter 13 through 17 in the book of John, after the Last Supper. So keep your finger there again in chapter 15, verse 4, please. Are you staying with me? Okay, verse 4. Note the word. Abide in me. That's the same word, meno, in me. I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it meno in the vine. Neither can you unless you meno in me. This is such a simple truth, but many believers ignore it. It's impossible for any one of us to know Lord Jesus Christ without spending time with him, without remaining in his word. Let me ask you this. How can you remember the Bible verses and the word of God without memorizing, making an effort to memorize? We give out this memory card. Some of you don't even bother to do it. Well, there are excuses. Well, I forget. Well, join the club. We live in the Green Valley and near the Green Valley. We forget all the time. But do you ever make an effort? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands so you can boast or that somebody can be ashamed about it. If you don't, I ask you to memorize the verses. Just read it 10 times a day, 7 days a week. That's all it takes. By the end of the 70 times, you will have that thing down. How do I know? Because I do it. I don't do one verse. I do three at a time. On top of all, remember, I'm a foreigner. I have to have a different thing. Yeah, I'm from southern Sweden. That's why I have an accent. See? You have to make an effort. If you don't make an effort, you cannot memorize it. And some people say, well, maybe I will use my Bible as a pillow. Maybe it will flow into my head like a reverse osmosis. Get a life. Yeah, phylactery. The more we learn about him, the more desire we have to be right with him, to become holy and sanctified. Jesus said, come and see. Come and see. Now, we don't know where Jesus was living at this time, but knowing from the other verses, he didn't have a whole lot of fancy place to stay. Because Son of God do not have a place to lay his head. Remember that verse? But this question is more than just surface level. It's a deeper level. Come and see. He's telling them, come and see what I am. Come and see who I am. That's what God is telling us to do. So they saw indeed. They came, saw where he's staying, and spent the time with him, remained with him, and they got a whole lot more. Apostle John, who called himself lovingly the disciple whom Jesus loved. Remember that word? See, that it's not. He doesn't say the disciple who Jesus loved. Jesus. Well, he's a lovable, so we can easily love him. But him loving us, that's special. Disciple whom Jesus loved, not to boast, but he was grateful that he was loved by Jesus. And he's the one who got the vision. He saw a whole lot more than what we would see because he spent the time for 3 years hanging around with Jesus. He got to see the vision, and now we have, at the end of the 66th book of Revelation. Yes, they came, stayed with Jesus. They saw more than what they possibly could imagine. You stay in the Word of God, you will see what God has for you beyond what you expected. How are you going to do that? Get into the Word. Jesus saying to you today, come on, come see for yourself. Come investigate for yourself. If you're a skeptic, challenge God. I dare you to challenge God. If you think evolution is correct, if you think everything is out of goo, oozed out from the goo, get into the Word. See if the Word of God is not true. I came across many people who said, well, I read the Bible. And I said, which one? Which book? I read the Bible. Yeah, I can tell. If I really challenge them, read the Bible, they walk away. And they don't know it, but in ignorance, they say, well, God is not true. God is asking you, God is challenging you, come and see, come investigate yourself. You will see too. The reward of knowing the Lord are phenomenal. His blessing, not necessarily in a monetary way, but abundant blessing from the Lord. The Lord will use you to minister to others, to comfort others, to encourage others, and bring glory to himself. Isn't that the reason we exist? The fourth requirement is a mission. Mission. Verse 40. One of those two who heard John speak, they followed him, was Andrew and Simon Peter's brother. He first found his own brother Simon and said to him, we found the Messiah, which is translated the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. When I'm ready to buy a certain product, I buy majority of this stuff online. By the way, in case you think, well, somebody might steal my credit card number, with 128-bit encryption things, I don't think there are a whole lot of people who can do that. It's easier for the people who wait on your table in a restaurant. They can steal your credit card number better than online. Anyway, I do a lot of purchasing from the internet. Before I purchase, I do the research, quite a bit of research. I read the review of another consumer more than the manufacturer's advertising. If I like what I see, then I buy them, and I do my own hands-on review. If I like what I got, I usually tell other people, try this. I really like it. I give them my review. Just like that, after I received Jesus Christ into my heart in 1987, I couldn't wait to tell other people about Jesus. I didn't have a tactfulness. Trust me, I did not have a tactfulness. And I didn't know enough to understand what's the best way to approach people or evangelize people. I did not have a method. I did not have a knowledge. But what I had was a testimony that I got from God. Jesus saved me. I have an eternal life in Him. That's all I knew. What I wanted to tell people, I want you to have that so you don't have to go to hell and burn in hell. That's pretty much what I tell people. You're going to die, you're going to go to hell, you're going to burn. Well, that's a nice way to approach a person, but it's not. Trust me. See, the disciples of Jesus want to make other disciples. If you are truly disciples of Jesus Christ, you want other people to go to heaven with you. Remember what I always say? There's something better than going to heaven. What is it? Taking somebody with you. You have something special. Don't hold it to yourself. Share with other people. There are plenty to go around. Whenever I see Andrew in the Bible, he always do something. He bring people to Christ. This is the beginning. His own brother. Hey, big brother, Simon, come and see Jesus. You know, this is not complicated. It's not fancy. Maybe that's why people don't want to do it, because it's not sophisticated. But it's very effective. It's very simple. He literally brought people to Christ. How we need more Andrews. If we had more Andrews, we would have more Peters. It is so neglected. God's primary way to reaching people is through people. And it's been that way. It's still going to be. See, it's more than that. He will use that way more than a massive crusade in the stadium. He can reach out to the people. Do you know someone who does not know Jesus Christ around your circuit? Of course you do. Here's like a simple way. You may not know a particular method, but you can ask them, why don't you come and see? I'll pick you up. So here's a way. Invite them to the church. Pick them up. You have a time, you have a car, then go pick them up and bring from their home and bring them to the church. Let God speak to them, and you do what Andrew did, and let the God do the rest. Agree? All right. John chapter 1, verse 42, the rest of that. Now, this is the fifth requirement, transformation. Transformation. Now, when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon, the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas, which is translated a stone. I love this verse. I just love this verse. Go back there and look. You know, one time when I was not Christian, my wife showed me the book by the Hal Lindsey, Late Great Planet Earth. And she told me that the end of Earth is coming. So I said, yeah, right, sweetie. I didn't believe it. Guess who is laughing now? The word look, here, go back to the word. Jesus looked at him. The word in Greek is emblepo. It's not just kind of looking at you, but it's gazing. You can say, Jesus, stare at this man intently. He stared at Simon Peter, and just like the way that Jesus saw Simon, he also saw what he's going to be. He sees each believer's potential if we choose to obey him. The Lord doesn't want his disciples to remain as they were, but grow and transform in Him. You know, we were involved with the Home Mission Church in downtown Tucson. And you know where the five point is? Downtown Stone Avenue, all that is really homeless people hanging around. When you talk to them, it's like you have to hold your nose because they stink so bad. We were there for a while. It's fun to see them coming to know Jesus Christ. With all the vulgar, all the profanity, all the foul language they have, and then when they come to know Jesus Christ and they start to pray, it's from the heart. They sprinkle a few profanity words in the prayer, but it comes from heart. You know, it's like you cannot say, hey, you cannot use that word. Yeah, just let them. God didn't tell me to fish people. He didn't tell me to clean the people before I fish. He just told me to fish them. He will clean them. Out of 12 disciples, Simon was the only one who got to have a special name from God. Simon, you're no longer Simon, you're Peter. Okay, I pronounce it as Kephas. And some of you think, oh, I know you speak broken English, so it's a Cephas. No, that's the English version of Kephas. In Greek word, it's Kephas. Kephas is a fist-sized rock, not big boulder, like some denominations like to think. It's a fist-sized rock. So you can call him Rocky. But was he always rock-solid guy? No, he was not. You know, he got the A+ when he answered, when Jesus asked him, who do you think that I am? And Peter said, You are the Son of God, Son of the Living God. Wow, A+. And right after that, and then Jesus told him, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to be hanged, all these things. And then Simon Peter had the gut to say, I rebuke you. Pretty much, Simon Peter rebuked Jesus. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. From the A+ to flunking, he goes from rocky to sandy. It was like that. And he said, I will never deny you, to denying him 3 times. But the same guy, he preached the word on the day of Pentecost. 5,000 people got saved. And he became the leader of the early church in the first century. And his faith was so strong to the last moment. And he died for Christ. According to Christian legend, he died upside down, crucified. But the Lord saw Peter, empowered and filled by the Holy Spirit, and preaching to the multitude in Acts chapter 2. And he was the source of the gospel, and he wrote the 2 epistles in in the New Testament. So let me ask you, disciples of Jesus bring forth transformation as they follow the Lord. Bring transformation. You cannot stay, if you're going to follow God seriously, you cannot stay where you are. You're going to make a transition. I have a question to ask you. This is not an application, but you have to ask yourself, which one of you like to be? Which one would you like to be? A believer who receives salvation from the Lord Jesus, but doing nothing, emphasizing nothing, barely making into heaven. Put your grace on each side of the shoulder, squeaking into going through the gate, barely making by the skin of teeth. Or becoming a disciple of Jesus Christ who makes a transition to be a better believer in Him. Evaluate oneself clearly and seriously, and submit to the commandment of the Lord through the Bible, carries out missions to tell others about Jesus, and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring glory and honor to to him. Which one would you like to be? I hope you choose the latter. Listen, no one can answer this for you except yourself. You don't have a whole lot of time left because Jesus is coming back soon. So let's redeem the time and be busy for the Lord. Okay? Let's stand up and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Remind us that we need to be true disciples of Jesus Christ. Disciples of Jesus Christ. By going through a transition, evaluation, submission, and carrying out your mission and transformation by the power of the Holy Spirit. We love you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.